I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root Artist feature. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Britt Wigington, who was the Wonder Root Journey Local, Mostly Independent Film Series Jury Award winner for our most recent film screening. Britt, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. You won the jury award for your short film, Violet.
Yes.
Talk about Violet. What was the inspiration behind that story?
I had to write something for my senior thesis project at SCAD, and I didn't really have any idea. It was like a week before I started school, and I had no idea. And finally, I had the idea for a feature, and I just started expanding on it as a short. And I knew that I wanted to write something that had an all female cast, and yeah, I just kind of went from there.
Okay, so from the story, from the idea to the actual project, and putting together the pieces, the director, the locations, the visuals, editing, all of that. Talk about what you learned throughout that process. Because you mentioned that it was for a school project. So mm-hmm. What did you learn in that process?
I learned that you can't always let older straight white men tell you what is good and what isn't. And because I've had a lot more success with my film outside of SCAD than... That's not true, necessarily. I have had a lot of success outside of SCAD, but I kind of was under the radar in the film program there. And it was only really until the very end of the year that a lot of the professors started to even knew who I was, and they had no idea what my movie was about or that it was even made. And I also learned that it's really important to have a crew around you that you can trust, and you know that they're going to do their jobs to the best of their ability. And, I don't know.
Well, let's talk about that, that change in visibility, mm-hmm. For you and your project. When did you know that people had started to know more about you or know more about this project?
It was, I guess, so we have senior 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. senior sequence. So 1 is pre-production, 2 is production, and then 3 is post-production. And so... During my senior 1 class, my professor told me that my script was, it wasn't a movie, I couldn't make it, that it didn't make any sense, and that, no one would want to watch it if it became a movie and all this stuff. I had already committed to a lot of things, so I just thought I would do it anyway. And I knew that I had a vision for it, and I shouldn't let his, opinion, because a lot of other people had read the script and really, been receptive to it. And so in senior 2, I shot it the first week of school, and I showed part of my cut to my class, and they were really receptive to it, and they kind of said, where was this project? I've never heard of this project. When did you shoot it? Who worked on it? And they just had no idea. So my professor was really receptive to it, and even then, I had a really hard time getting a group of sound design students to work on the sound design for it, because there's so few of them. The school actually picks which films are going to be able to have a sound design crew. And you have to have a professor's recommendation. It was just a very long bureaucratic process. And so that professor that I had for senior 2 was trying to get me a sound team, and that didn't work because the head of both the sound and the film department said that they didn't think it was worth trying to have to work on at all. And so they wanted to work on movies about aliens and spaceships and monsters and things like that that have are really, I guess, specific for sound design. And then when I went into senior 3, my professor saw it, who I'm really close with, and he really fought for it. And then it was really in the last maybe 3 weeks of the quarter of school that I showed it to a sound design class and kind of got a bootleg sound design team that worked on it under the totally under the radar, and basically did all the sound design within 2 weeks. So And then it screened at the end of the year, and that's when everyone was kind of like, oh, this is a thing that exists. And then we also have, like, the SCATMI Awards, which are just the awards that are awarded. So I ended up getting a couple awards from that. And because people saw, like, my name and that it was nominated for a few awards, and they were like, what is this? I was, like, in the computer lab one day and working, and someone was like, what's this movie? It's like Violet. I've never heard of this before. And, like, stuff like that. So, but I like it that way. I think it, even though it was, like, really stressful, because I felt like I had to, like, email, like, 100 people and be like, my film is good, I think. And be like, and then, like, the presser said so. And I just felt like, you know, as I didn't know, I don't, this is how I felt, is just like as a woman, and especially a woman of color, like I had to like work like 5 times as hard as like the straight white boys that like just do really bad films that have terrible acting and terrible writing about like, but like really expensive ones about like spaceships and things. And I don't know, I just felt like I had to try like really, really hard in order just to be like, get them to even just like watch my film.
Well, let's not keep our listeners in too much suspense. Sorry. Because, no, well, we haven't actually talked about what the movie was about. So yes. let's talk about the actual story. Okay. What was Violet about?
A lot of people say different things. So I usually have other people say what it's about because I think that's more interesting. Maybe just that's me. But it's about a young woman who runs away from home, and she finds a community of girls in the Georgia backwoods that are all looked after over this mom character. And then she realizes that the woman is very manipulative, and she tries to escape from the community and save the girls.
Now, was that based off of any other, or does that have any shreds of any other real life stories that you've heard of, or it was just something that was out of your imagination?
No, I just completely made it up. I was very interested in alternative family dynamics, things that where it's not just like, and also interest like representations of the American dream. Because, you know, you think it's mom, dad, brother, sister, and that's the only way that, you know, and if you're really successful, that's how you're going to be happy. And I kind of went from there. I knew that I wanted to have something that was representative of that. So, because I was really interested in, like, communities of people that ended up being, like, becoming family. Because, just because of their situation, if they've shared a common situation. And so, like, I definitely wanted something that was in that wheelhouse.
You mentioned to me earlier about how writing is really important to you, and that is your first passion as it relates to filmmaking, and everything else is built on top of that. Mm-hmm. Talk about your writing process. You know, what does that mean to you when you start to put together the ideas and flesh out those ideas?
Mm-hmm. It kind of depends on the project. The project that I just shot this past weekend, I had the idea for it almost 2 years ago, and I just now, like 2 weeks ago, wrote the actual like full script for it. And so it's recently, since I've been in college, I haven't written nearly as much as I used to, but I kind of let the ideas like marinate for a really long time, and then they just kind of come out. And usually it's like something that like just inspires me, and I just think about it a lot until it just comes out. And so I really don't like writing things that, or, you know, even committing my energy to things that I feel like have been made before. I'm in a film class right now, the one I was telling you about, where we have to make a film every other week, and the scripts that some of my classmates turn in are like obviously very cliched, and I just don't think that there's any point of putting your energy into something that someone's gonna have seen a million times before. So I try really hard to represent like things that aren't so played out, I guess. I don't know.
So as someone who was from LA, who was very intimately familiar with TV and film, Hollywood, mm-hmm. And the stories that have emanated from that place for, gosh, 100 years mm-hmm. or so at this point, who are your favorite storytellers?
I really like Mindy Kaling. Mindy Kaling is awesome. I got to meet her when she was here for ATV Fest, and I love her. I really like Harmony Korine. His visuals are really cool. He did Spring Breakers and wrote the screenplay for Kids, which both I really like. And People ask me this all the time, and I don't know how to answer. I like, I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, I have another question for
you.
About stories and really about, as you mentioned, steering away from the cliche.
Mm-hmm.
Because as someone who enjoys going to the movies and watching films, it seems like Hollywood is very much a place where once something is successful once, then there's several different versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when that's the norm of a place, what has been your experience in terms of learning or just looking at how someone got their project through? What have you learned or what have you seen be successful when it comes to those folks who are trying to tell stories that are not cliche or stories that have not been told mm-hmm. before? What have you seen in terms of their path that maybe you see as a blueprint for you?
Mm-hmm. I my personal taste, I don't really like a lot of like Hollywood big budget studio movies. So I may be not fully looking at the picture, but I really like, I mean, all the film, this, there's a group of filmmaker teams, which is Britt Marling and her producing partner, who I can't remember the name of, and they produce Sound of My Voice and Another Earth in the East, and they were actually really successful at Sundance, and the first two they made without, like, completely without any money, like on a DSLR straight out of film school, and they ended up getting all of these prizes at Sundance and South By. And I think I went to go see a Q&A with them when Sound of My Voice came out in 2012, I believe. And they said that they had a really good script and they had a very specific vision for it. And that's how they got it made. And that's kind of basically what I've obviously haven't had anyone hire me for my work yet, but I hope so. And so, yeah, I just always have to remind myself that, like, you can't make a good movie from a bad script. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that answers your question.
It is an answer. And I think there are some nuggets of wisdom in there from what you talked about. You know, you mentioned the notion of a producing partner. And I do feel like what I've noticed with filmmakers is that there are teams, you know, putting together a good team, and you may see the same team work on project to project.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that teamwork and finding someone who can, as a producer or as a director, who can help you flesh out your vision. And what's that like in terms of identifying that that person gets you
mm-hmm.
and you want to work with them?
It's really hard to find someone like that because, I mean, obviously they have to almost like speak a different language, and you can just kind of like say what you want and they know exactly what you mean. I don't have a producing partner that I work with right now. My friend Gray produced Violet, and we've worked together in like small capacities since then. But it's really, my DP that I've been working with for the past few projects that I've done, Garrett, he like the other day we were on set and I hadn't even shown him my storyboard and he just was like, okay. And he like knew exactly what I wanted the shot to look like. And he also works very minimally, which I like because I think that a lot of people spend too much time on like making things like look really pretty, but then, you know, they put like 10 lights up and like have to do all this fancy stuff, and he just like makes it look really good without using anything. And so that's been really, it's been just like great to work with because it's good because you know that that person understands your vision, and that's one thing that you don't have to worry about. Because I personally, like, this is something that I learned during shooting Violet, is that I like to micromanage a lot. And that from that project, I really learned to kind of just like step back and like let people do their jobs because I trusted them. And then that, you know, that was like a really huge learning experience for me that I shouldn't stress about things that aren't in my wheelhouse. So, yeah.
All right. You mentioned earlier, you shared some perspective of your challenges getting Violet out,
mm-hmm.
At least within your school context. And you talked about being a woman of color
mm-hmm.
and creating work within, within a culture where there are lots of straight white males. Talk about that. talk about how you perceive Hollywood as an industry that's full of that. Mm-hmm. And as you, and I don't want to say Hollywood as a proxy, but just the film industry mm-hmm. is full of that. How do you look at your career going forward in terms of how you navigate that world? Or do you even think about it?
I try not to think about it because it kind of makes me upset and angry if I think about it too hard. But so far, I've actually been told this like a couple times in the past few days, is that like I always stay true to my vision and I'm always on brand, which I guess is really important nowadays. But I mean, I never try to like make my ideas something that they're not to appease someone else's opinion. And especially I'll like listen to critique and I can like take and I love collaborating with people on ideas and hearing their ideas, but I never try to compromise what I want and what I believe in order to make the film like, you know, popular or successful or more commercial. Like that's like one of my least favorite words is commercial. And it's kind of discouraging sometimes, but I just hope that I will continue to be lucky and don't have to, because I've been, thankfully the past few internships that I've done have been in production companies that are actually predominantly run by women. And so, and they totally share my outlook. And so I can see that they've been successful. And so that kind of like gives me a little bit of hope because I don't have to, you know, they've obviously been able to do what they want to do. So hopefully I can do that as well without having to compromise anything.
Now you're headed back to Los Angeles mm-hmm. and you're going to continue the next phase of your career after school. What are your fondest memories of Georgia? You've been in Savannah for part of your career, part of your academic career, and now here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. What will you take with you?
Well, I had a lot of fun at the Savannah Film Festival and at the Atlanta Film Festival. Those were probably like big highlights, not just because of, I mean, people always talk about how film festivals are great for networking and things like that. But just being able to be surrounded by other filmmakers and I've seen shorts and I just get really inspired. I'm like, okay, like that's awesome. I just get really excited by when I see a really good short. And a lot of people ask me if I want to be in features, and I can't really see myself directing a feature. To be honest, I don't have a lot of positive memories about SCAD, but I've definitely...
Honesty first, Brit.
Yeah,
honesty
I was first. Like, I don't know if I should say that, but...
Honesty first.
I definitely definitely enjoyed my time in Atlanta. I love the culture here, and there's, like, great food, great music.
There you go. Mm-hmm. How can people learn more about whatever you're working on? Please share that information, as well as if there's a way for people to watch Violet. I don't know if there's a way for people to still watch that, but let people know how they can still keep in contact with you or learn more about what you're working on.
Yeah, I have really great ways. Either liking the Violet Facebook page, we'll always post about when it's being screened, and on my website, which is Brit. Wigginton.com.
All right. Mm-hmm. Britt, thank you for your time.
Thank you.